Would you please stand for the reading of God's word? But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Be seated. You can go. Before you go, though, I want to ask you a question. We're going to be talking about God's word, so I thought I'd just interview him real quick. You do a lot of studying of God's word in Livewire, right? So tell me what you've learned about God by studying his word.
He is the healer of all things.
The healer of all things. And you know that because your eye was injured, right? And what were you telling me about your eye being miraculously healed?
When I was about 4 or 6,
I was blind for 2 weeks because I punctured my eye out with a stick. And when I had surgery, it's like I couldn't open one eye, and the other eye it just didn't want to see. And then one morning, I woke up from the hospital, and all I see was just a light just shining like you could see in the woods. It was just shining through the very little spots through the eye patch that I could see.
That's awesome. And you gave God the credit for that.
Yep.
That's awesome. A lot of people were praying for you here, weren't they?
Yep.
Okay. All right. So we're going to be talking about God's word this morning. And I have to tell you a little joke. 2011, I was preaching a 3-week sermon series on God's word. And the third week, a woman came out in the little greeting line and she said, "Today was fantastic." And she said, "Last week, not so much." So I hope that this is better than the second week of that sermon series. So we're going to talk about God's word. Even though the Bible has 66 books, it has one consistent message, the story of redemption. The red thread of salvation runs from Genesis 1:1 to Revelations 22:21. It is the single most published book in the world. It has been translated, the full Bible has been translated into 600 languages. 2,400 languages in 130 countries have translation work that is actively being done. But more than 1,600 languages, who knew that there were 3,000, 4,000 languages, right? But more than 1,600 languages still need a Bible translation to begin. That is 180 million people with no access to God's word. I don't know about you, but God's word has changed my life in a drastic way. And so that is sad. Every possible human condition is documented in the Bible. Disappointment, murder, fear, trouble, sibling rivalry, depression, faith, joy, anger, it's all in there. The Bible is full of men and women who mess up and let God down all the time. The stories of God using average and less than perfect people to do his work give me great hope. I hope they give you hope as well, hope that he can use and speak through us. Now, over my lifetime, I've had a number of different responses to the Bible. All through high school, I really was indifferent to the Bible. Except during the sermons each week. I really wanted to be any place else in high school besides church. So I spent my time copying my mom's notes into my Bible during the sermon time. But I would close that Bible up and I wouldn't even think of it till the next week. In college, I couldn't be bothered. I never thought of my Bible. I felt like I was way too smart and too sophisticated to bother with it. Out of college and working, I had decided that it was just an ancient document that had absolutely nothing to say to me. But once I had Amber, And she started having questions. I was looking for that Bible because I didn't have the answers. We occasionally went to church, but I never would have actually been seen with a Bible. You know, you go through that phase where you don't want to walk in with one. You want to know what it has to say, and you want the preacher to tell you. But I was still trying to make up my mind about the Bible and church and God. Well, I heard there was a disciple Bible study, and I heard it was starting and that it went from Genesis through Revelation. So I thought I would take it, and I finally, so I brought with me the Bible that I took to it. It's funny because it's my children's Bible, and it's the one, you know, with the, like, here's the picture of Zacchaeus, and I went in and I thought, I put that Bible on that table and said, all right, I'll show you. I went to UGA. I took a religion course. Bring it on. Look out. When said, pud, bam, I thought, oh, wait a minute. Who knew the Bibles weren't all these children's Bibles? I mean, seriously, I really did not know. And the only person who was on the lookout was me. There was none of me showing them. They were showing me. But what happened over the next 34 weeks was that we met together, we studied God's word, and Bible study changed me drastically. As I got into God's word got into me. And, you know, my want to sometimes got changed. All kinds of things got changed. And I don't think it's a mistake that disciple happens over 9 months, because I left that place different and changed. I was full of wonder and awe at a God that would sacrifice his son so that I could be with him in heaven. Because I know me. I know what I'm capable of. I know what I do and who I really am at my core. And I couldn't believe God would ruin his reputation on me, basically. That he was really in for a treat, I figured. I had a conversation once with a woman who was retired, and she said she never carried her Bible. She never read it because she had read it once. And that she figured that was enough. Once was enough. But God's word is living and active. He says that it's living and active. And that means that it has something to say to us every time we read it. Have you ever read your Bible and you've read something and you thought, I've read this a million times, but something jumps out, something new jumps out at the pages. But I also understood, because I had had long seasons where I saw no value in reading God's word, and I didn't love God's word at the time. So, isn't it true that a lot of us want to keep God where we can have him for disaster and when life gets tough, but we kind of want to put him away the rest of the time? But when we don't read God's word and stay in it regularly, we often end up forgetting that God left us his word with instructions about life. And we often, instead of turning to God, turn to our friends or others, don't we? Have you seen the sign that says, have you prayed about it as often as you've talked about it? Often we reach out to God, we want to, but we don't know how, or we're embarrassed. Maybe it's been a long time. And we don't want people to know that we aren't regularly searching for God and reading his word. Now, we're not the first people to struggle with this. In the Bible, in King Josiah's day, they lost the Torah. The first 5 books of the Bible, lost. Then one day the priests were cleaning out the temple and found the Torah. It had been so long since they had seen it and read it, but they did not know what it was. So they opened it and read it. They were immediately convicted by God that they had lost God's word. They tore their clothes, ran to the king. They assembled the people and read it in their presence. That would be like our Bible going missing. Like not like the preacher not knowing what it is and us not having a clue what it was. I've often wondered how God's word ended up in a closet in the temple and no one had a clue that it was missing. Except that I've done the same thing. Here's what I think happened. I think people didn't take God's word seriously. Then they got busy and they left it out 1 week, and then they quit reading it, then they quit teaching it, and then the parents quit talking about it with their kids. If you would turn in your Bibles to Deuteronomy 6. This is Moses' farewell address. And he says in Deuteronomy 6:4, this is called the Shema. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. God is saying, he gives us a picture of how we will recognize someone who loves God. He will be the topic of conversation on their lips. And I think that the Torah was lost because people had failed to have him on their lips at all times. Now, God gave us his word to make himself known to us, but also to give us what we need for our journey here on earth, not just what we need to know for our eternal destination. Today's scripture said, these things were written that you might believe, and in believing, have eternal life. For starters, God's word was given to us so that we would know his salvation in the form of his Son, and that we would accept Christ's sacrifice on our behalf and be saved. But the Bible is so much more than just the knowledge of salvation. It shows us how to live in the meantime. Now, I've had people say to me, yeah, but you get paid, you work at the church, you get paid to read the Bible. And I know that many people think, well, if you work at the church staff, you get paid to read the Bible. Or if I worked at the church, I'd pray and read the Bible all the time too. But it doesn't work like that. We are human too. And so we look up and find sometimes that it's been too long in our reading of God's word. We struggle to find the time just like you. Because when you work at the church, it's easy to get caught up in that. You know, I've often said that, and many of you have heard me say that the church is one of the best places to hide from God. Because you're so busy working for him, you miss sometimes the relationship. We struggle to find time just like you do. And the desire sometimes to be in the word, you know, is sometimes a struggle as well. And we fall asleep from praying just like you do. We look for our Bibles sometimes because we can't find them, which is a clue that we aren't using them enough. And just like you, we often find ourselves so busy that we rely on what we've read in the past to get us through current situations. Isn't that true? But God's word is living and active, which means he has something fresh and new to say to our situations. Most of you know that the last 7 years of my life have held some of the greatest struggles and trials of my entire life. My niece Sarah was diagnosed with pediatric cancer, bone cancer, 7 years ago, and 6 months ago she died at the age of 19. Then I had open heart surgery in 2014. I had my knee replaced last year, and in last summer I was diagnosed with Parkinson's disease. My first thought was to find somebody to take the giant kick me sign off my back. It's been a lot to handle physically and emotionally and spiritually. And to be honest with you, if I had not been reading God's word all these years, I would probably be right in the middle of a crisis of faith. But because I have been reading God's word, I'd come to know God in a deep and abiding way. So as my heart processes each of the trials, what I fall back on is what I have come to know for certain about the Lord. And here is what I know to be true about him. He is close to the brokenhearted. And every time. His mercies are new every morning. He is for me, not against me. Jeremiah 29:11 says that his plans are to prosper me and not to harm me. His compassions never fail. Never. And only the God of the universe gets to use never. Because he came to earth as Jesus, I am never alone. I do not walk alone in this disease or in anything that happens. And he has promised that nothing can separate me from him, neither height nor depth, nor angels nor demons. And that is just the start of what I know. But I know that because I've been studying his word. If I did not study his word, I probably would feel like God had done this to me, but he did not. There would be all kinds of struggles, additional struggles on top of that. I don't know what you're going through. I know that many of you have struggles and trials and that you are going through as well. If you're not reading your Bible, or you don't know where to begin to read your Bible, you're missing out on the goodness of God. God does not want us going it alone. And he wants, and yes, he puts in our path people who are there who support us. Godly Christian people who pray for us and encourage us. But there is nothing like knowing the God of the universe, the Most High God. Now, maybe you don't have any issues that you're dealing with right now. Praise God to that. But if you're breathing, it's only a matter of time before life will hand you a struggle or a trial. So the questions today that are, if you aren't reading your Bible, then where do you go for wisdom and discernment and making decisions? Anybody go to friends, parents? How do you cope with depression or anxiety or disappointment, hopelessness, exhaustion, all things that we deal with? Is it by talking with friends? You know, it makes me think about the passage where Isaiah says there, and I'm not saying that we worship our friends, but he's talking to the people who have created these gods for themselves. And he says, you're taking a piece of wood and you're making a god, but when you go off into captivity, they're not doing anything for you. They can't carry you. We, our friends are great and a wonderful resource for encouragement. But why would we speak to the created when we can speak to the creator? The one who knows everything about us, who has said that we're fearfully and wonderfully made, who can speak to our circumstances in a way that a person cannot. What do you do in times of trials and illness? I certainly never in my wildest dreams thought that I would have Parkinson's disease. And was not, I don't know how you prepare for that anyway, but if I did not know the God of the universe and I did not know that he cared for me, I would be in a world of hurt right now. And toughing it out doesn't fix things, does it? No. God says that we're to be conformed into the image of Christ. So how can you know that if you're there, if you're not reading his word? How do you know what that looks like? Or if you've gone too far, but if you're headed in the opposite direction. You see, one of the ways we build a faith that is our own and not the faith of our parents or our friends or our Sunday school teacher or our fathers is by reading the Bible and wrestling through the scriptures that you read. That is one of the ways that we grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus. Are you building a faith that is your own by reading the Bible, or are you letting others do faith for you? If I could tell you anything to prepare your hearts and your minds for struggles and trials, it would be open your Bible. Dig into the Word. Anybody read The Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23? I love the study and the book because it has some visuals that help me tremendously. And one of them is that the shepherd talks about stepping onto his porch every single morning to look out over his flock to make sure that they are content and fit and able to be on their feet. And that image of God stepping out every morning saying, "All right, where's Robin? How's she?" is wonderful. But he goes further and he says that he often could find his sheep drinking from the dew. And he said, we should be, if we think of God's word as living water to us, we should be doing that as well. And I've often thought, I want God to find me knee deep in the dew when he comes for me. Now, the POWs in Vietnam went through awful living conditions. And stories abound of the ways that Scripture kept them going and kept them alive. And I wanted to read to you an account. A new POW was brought into the camp, and the first thing the prisoners do is start asking him what scriptures he knows. So he says, "Do you know any Bible verses?" He said, "Well, the Lord's Prayer. Everybody knows that. How about the 23rd Psalm? Only a little. I began whispering it. He'd repeat each line after me. A little later, he whispered the entire psalm back to me. Other prisoners joined in, sharing verses they knew. Through these contacts, a fellowship grew among us. I didn't feel so alone anymore. Our common denominators were the Bible and Jesus. And we were able to share and write down a great deal of scripture. For by now, it had become vital to our daily existence. Often racked with dysentery, weakened by the diet, our physical bodies had shrunk within the prison walls. We spent 20 hours a day locked in our cells. And those Bible verses became rays of light, constant assurances of God's love and care. Since the guards forbid communication between prisoners, we found creative ways to share God's word. The urge to share the verses with others developed inventiveness. One night, I lay with my ear pressed against the rough wooden wall of my cell to hear thump, thumpity thump. As somewhere on the wall, cells away, a fellow POW tapped out in Morse code, "I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence my help cometh." Psalm 121. He tapped out his name and passed on the 7 other verses in that psalm, which I scratched on the concrete floor with a piece of broken tile. "My help comes from the Lord," the psalm assured us, and with that assurance came his presence, soothing us, telling us to fear not. From that, we learned a most important lesson. Bible verses on paper aren't one iota as useful as scripture burned into your heart and into your mind, where you can draw on them for guidance and comfort. By the end of several months, Captain Ray and his fellow prisoners were able to memorize collectively the Sermon on the Mount, Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 13, and many of the Psalms. Now we had our own living Bible walking around the room, and they said it was what kept them going and gave them hope. I don't know what stories like this do to you, but they spark a resolve in my heart to get into God's word deeper. I mean, talk about burning scripture into your heart and into your mind. Imagine what would happen if we got into God's word, if we read God's word, if we began to believe him for the things that he promises us. I don't mean believe in him, but believe him for the things that he has promised. Imagine what would happen if we became a community that was assured of our salvation, that was certain of God's love for us in our community, and was excited and determined to read God's word and begin to live out what we read in our daily lives. That is not far-fetched. It's possible. We can be that church. We can be that community. You can be that family. You can be that person. It all starts with you. Maybe you've never asked Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. This morning, you can place your faith in Jesus and be saved. Maybe you're not sure if you've placed your faith in Jesus. This morning, you can be sure of that and rest in the assurance of your salvation. Maybe you've placed your faith in Jesus, but you've moved far away. The good news is that God hasn't moved anywhere. And today can be a new beginning. This week, I asked one of our resident artists, Susan Edwards, to pray about the sermon and to design and paint 6 prayer flags for us. And she did not know the message. I gave her the scripture, John 20:31, and asked her to pray about it and create these beautiful pieces of art. And when she brought me the results, I was blown away by how God is such a faithful God to tell her exactly what he was telling me. And in just a minute, the music is going to play softly. And I'm going to pray, I'm going to give you a chance to put your faith in Jesus. If you've already done that, then take a moment to recommit your life. I'm also going to pray that God will guide your steps down here to take one of these prayer flags with you, that he will guide you to the scripture that you need. There's 6 different scriptures. If you pray to accept Jesus, I hope you will let someone know, Cynthia or Steve or myself or a friend, but let someone know. So will you pray with me? Gracious God, your words to us today about studying your word are not to make us feel bad. They're to wake us up, to make us desire your word in our lives. We need your word to guide and direct our daily living. We have such a desire to hear from you, Lord. Give us a desire for that as well as a desire for your word. Lord, there are those of us here this morning who want to call you Lord and Savior but have never let you know that. There are also those of us here that are unsure if they have done that and want to put that to rest and have assurance of their salvation. And God, there are those here who are already your heirs, but they want to recommit their lives to you and make this a new day. If you feel led in the quiet of your heart, you can repeat after me. Father, without you, I am just drifting. I am not who I should be. In fact, I get things wrong all the time. And I'm tired of trying to save myself. I know that I can't save myself. Lord, today I accept Jesus' death in my place for my sins. And I place my faith in the ransom that he paid. I celebrate that his resurrection means that I too will be resurrected in glory. Thank you, Father, that when I place my faith in Jesus and make him Lord and Savior of my life, that you clothe me in his righteousness. I pray, Lord, that you would hide this treasure in my heart so that I would know for certain that I am your heir. As we come forward to receive a prayer flag, we thank you for Susan's faithful listening to your voice, so that we can come and receive a word from you. Guide our steps to the scripture that we need to know today. In Jesus' holy and precious name. The altar is open. Please come forward. Get a prayer flag, stay and pray if you would like.